Last week, I had a monumental thing happen in my life. There are certain things that happen that make you know that you're not as young as you used to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I had to go to the doctor last week to take a stress test. And I'm way too young. Amen? I'm way too young. And so they marched me into this place, and they told me to get on the treadmill, and they would tell me when to stop. And so I started walking, and when it came to the point where they should have told me to stop, according to my definition, they forgot to tell me. And there I am. I'm still walking, and I'm still sweating, and I'm thinking, this is a lot harder than it's supposed to be. And the doctor came in later on after I recuperated and regained consciousness. He came back in, and not really, but almost. He came back in, and he said two opposing things to me. He said, number one, you are perfectly healthy. I said, praise God. But you need to start exercising 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, no exceptions. And I was conflicted because I thought, you just said I was good. So why would I want to mess up this great 41-year track record? Why would I want to mess it up with exercise or change of diet? I mean, come on, this apparently is working. But he told me that what's been working in the past isn't going to work much longer. And he was telling me I got to change, even though there's no reason. How many New Year's, a lot of people think about change. Today, I want to begin talking to you on a series the next few weeks simply entitled, Change Before You Have To. Say this phrase with me, change before you have to. So what the doctor was telling me, he was saying, Greg, you know, even though you don't have to change right now, it's not that you've had a heart attack yet, you haven't had a stroke yet, you don't have, clogs in your arteries or any of this stuff yet, but he was saying, change now before you have to change. CEO, if you're in the business world, CEO Jack Welch was famous, especially back in the 90s, for simply this coining this phrase when it came to business. He would say that corporations should change before they have to. They should change their processes before they have to, because in the corporate world, if you wait till the market demands you change, you've already lost. Someone else has already made the new venture has already gone on, and you've been left behind. God even says something about this when it comes to our spirit life. In Romans chapter 14, verse number 10, the word says it like this. Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. How many know that every person you've ever seen on the street, every person that's ever lived on planet Earth, including you and me, at some point, one day, you and I will all stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're going to declare that Jesus is Lord, and He is the Christ, and He is the Savior. It doesn't matter where you claim to be agnostic or an atheist or an Assembly of God person. It doesn't matter what your creed or background is. Every person who lives or has ever lived will stand before God and declare that He is Lord. Amen? How many know that today? Amen? It's going to happen. But at that point, when that happens, it's too late to receive the benefit of the joy and the peace and the salvation we can have today if we would simply say, Lord, change me now. Lord, I receive you now. So even from a spiritual point, this idea of changing before we have to is found in Scripture. And some of you in this room, you came into church today with an awareness that there's things in my life that need to change. Some of you have walked in this room today and you're not saying they have to change because someone told you, because a doctor told you, because your wife told you, because your kids told you. You just have this inner sense that there's things in your life that need to change. Perhaps you walked in and you said, today, Pastor, it's not that I just know I need to change. I am dying for a change. I am struggling to change. Perhaps you've been trying to change some area of your life and you've given it your best effort, and yet your best effort hasn't delivered the change you need. Well, if that is you this morning, I've got a message from the Lord for each of us. In Luke chapter 8, this is the text we want to look at this morning. There was a woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Now, let me just catch you up. Jesus is on his way from point A to point B. Point A is this. He's just gotten through praying for a man who is demon-possessed to be delivered, and he was. And he is enjoying the fanfare of that event when a religious man named Jairus shows up and tells Jesus, "Hey, my daughter is sick unto the point of death." And Jesus says, "I will go with you and I will heal her." And he's on his way from point A, telling Jairus he will go with him, to point B, Jairus's house, where he heals her. And along the way, his plan seems to be interrupted because there was this woman there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. And she came up behind him, meaning Jesus, and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling at his feet and fell. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. And I pray that every person who's walked into this room today, dying for a change in their life, will experience change in 2018. I pray they would even experience change this morning. God, I'm thankful that though we may have come into this life one way, we can leave it a better way through the grace and the help of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that those who have walked in, who have just been satisfied with the status quo, Lord, they're just searching, but they really don't know what they're searching for. I pray that today we would also respond before we have to. We would heed the word of God the first time we hear it and not the 10th time we hear it. Lord, I pray this morning you would do what is only can only be done by you. You will anoint me above my own abilities to speak the words of God, the words of God alone. Anoint our ears and our hearts and our mind to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise for that. And all God's people said, this woman was literally dying for a change. For 12 years, she's had the same issue. For 12 years, she's been praying the same prayer. For 12 years, she's been having this same goal that somehow her life would change, somehow her life would get better, somehow her healing would come, and yet she kept struggling. Every year about this time, I'm sure she said something like this, "Lord, I hope this is the year I get my life back. I hope this is the year I get my strength back. I hope this is the year I run into the person that has been through what I'm going through and they tell me the solution that they found so I can be healed like they're healed. I hope this is the year I find the right doctor. I hope this is the year I find the right support group. I hope this is the year I get my strength back. I hope this is the year I get my dignity back. I hope this is the year I get my sense of just being normal back." This lady was dying for a change. Let me just ask you, how many of you have ever had a season in your life where you were just dying for a change? Amen? You're just dying for some solution for what it was you were going through. But for 12 years, her best intentions had only been met with disappointments. For 12 years, her best efforts were just were of no use. For 12 years, here's the worst part, for 12 years, instead of getting better, she kept getting worse. She was dying for a change. So what do you and I do when we have these seasons? And we all will have seasons in our life where we're dying for a change. If you're not there right now, just write these notes down today because your turn's coming. Right? I know that may not be an encouraging word you want to hear this morning, but your season's coming. And the good news is Jesus got an answer for your season. So what do you do when you're dying for change? If you and I are going to change, not just because our world crashes down upon us. Listen, here's the thing. If we wait till our world crashes to change, that means we've got to experience the crash. But if we would change before we have to, there's actually some pain that could be avoided. There's some crashes that could be avoided. There's some heartache that could be avoided if we were to respond to the word of God the first time instead of the 75th time. So what do you do when you're dying for a change or when you hear the voice of God? Here's the first thing you need to do, and this is pretty basic, but a lot of people miss it, is you need to define what it is in your life that is controlling you. Luke chapter 8, the Bible says this lady was subject. In other words, she was a slave to this condition. It was the thing that was driving her life. Listen, we all have issues in this life today. I could go from person to person, pass the microphone down the road this morning, and each of you could tell me, here's the issue in my life, here's a problem in my life, here's what I'm struggling with, here's what's going on in my family and my life and my marriage and whatever. All of us could pass the mic and we could all confess a particular problem. But I'm not asking you, do you have a problem this morning? What I'm asking you is, does your problem have you? See, the Bible says she'd been subject to this issue for 12 years. She was to the point where she didn't just have a problem. Her problem had her. Her whole life was dictated by the problems. Here's what happens to you and me when we wait and change when life demands us to change. When we don't change when we can. If we wait and change when we have to, what you will do is you will spend most of your life subject, enslaved to something else. You'll live a life controlled by other things. That's why, Peter said in chapter 2, verse number 19 of 2 Peter, he said that a man is a slave to whatever he is, to whatever is controlling him. I don't know if you've ever been driving down the road in your car and that little orange or yellow light comes on that says check engine. How many know what that means? You know what that means? Number one, it means a lot of money is about to leave your pocket. But number two, it means you don't know what it means. You have to take it to the shop and they plug a computer into it. And that computer tells them one out of 100 things it could be. Right? You don't want to go to the shop. And if you go to this shop and this is what they tell you, well, that light means this, and they start fixing things, you better hold on just a second. You better say, time out. Because most of those lights don't mean one thing. They could mean a plethora of things. And if you just start fixing what it could be, you could shell out a whole lot of money and be there a whole lot of weeks thinking about the different possibilities that could have made that thing come on. Why am I sharing that? Because if we don't identify what is really controlling our life, you could spend a lot of your life wasting your time, wasting your energy, wasting your effort, going from person to person, from place to place, trying to fix the empty void in your life, friends, until you come to the realization that only God can fix the hole that's inside of us. When you understand the emptiness and the longing in your life cannot be filled by people, but only by God, you will waste your life filling it with things that don't last. Things that don't matter. There's actually a benefit to this lady's problem. She at least knew what her issue was. She could at least call it by name and knew what her problem was. And this problem was a big problem. It left her unclean. If you're familiar with the law of the day, she couldn't go places she wanted to go. She couldn't hang out with people she wanted to hang out with. Matter of fact, according to the law of the day, she shouldn't have been in the crowd. She certainly should have been touching Jesus. She should have been walking around saying simply the words, unclean, unclean. She should have been proclaiming her problem over and over again. But until you identify what's driving your life, you will never start to change. So we got to identify what's driving us. I wonder if you look back over 2017. Could you look back over 2017 this morning and ask this question? What drove my life in 2017? Was my life driven by problems? Was it driven by... How many? Sometimes our life is not driven by bad things. It's just driven by urgent things. You ever got up in the morning and you had a to-do list of three or four things, and then you go to sleep that night and your list hasn't moved? You haven't crossed off a single thing all day long, and yet you're wore out and you're wondering, where did my day go? Even though you worked your tail off all day long, it's because you were driven by the urgent things and not necessarily important things. How many know that something being urgent and something being important are two different things? right? So you got to identify what is driving my life. Number two, once you identify what's driving your life, you have to realize that your own ability is often way, way too insufficient. This lady had spent everything she had, gone everywhere she could go, and Mark's gospel, in chapter 5 of Mark, he says it like this, that she had suffered greatly under the care of many physicians, and she had spent all she had, and to no avail, her condition only got worse and worse. All the help in the world only made her worse. Listen, there are some longings in our life that if we're not careful, us meeting our own needs will make us worse and not better. Amen? So we got to understand that our own help is often no help. This lady wasn't just sick. Now she's broke. Have you ever tried your best and discovered that you made it worse instead of better? You know, there's none of these people attend this church, but there are some men whose wives never ask them to fix anything. Because when they try to fix something, now don't look at me, I just said they don't attend this church. But when they try to fix something, they get, well, I better get back to the Bible because y'all are looking way uncomfortable. This lady she had done her very best, but her best wasn't enough. You know, Jesus said like this in John chapter 15. He said, apart from me, we can do absolutely nothing. And this woman had tried everything and nothing worked until she did the third thing. If you find yourself in need of change this morning, here's where the solution really starts coming in. You've got to take your problems to Jesus. You've got to come to him. Here's what Luke chapter 8 says. She came up from behind him and she touched the edge of his cloak. But I really like what Mark says when Mark is sharing the same story. Here's what Mark says. It says when she heard about Jesus, that she came up through the crowd and she touched his cloak. But she didn't just reach up and touch him as he was walking by. Mark says this. He said that when she reached towards Jesus, she kept thinking in her mind that if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. Her life was changed because she approached Jesus. Let me ask you this question. Have you approached Jesus with the changes that you need in your life yet? See, when she came to Jesus, she didn't just come to get close, but she came believing. Say this word with me, believing. Here's a few ways we need to believe this morning. If you want to see life change, here's a few things you need to believe. Number one, you need to believe that what the Word says about Jesus is true. She believed, verse number 27 of Mark 5, she believed. The woman heard about Jesus, and we know she believed because she didn't just hear about Jesus healing the demon-possessed man. She didn't just hear that he was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. She didn't just hear it, but she heard it and she believed it. Our life doesn't change until we start believing the words of Jesus. You know, the Word says in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. But can I tell you, hearing the Word of God really doesn't change us unless we believe what we hear. One preacher said that if faith comes by hearing the word of God, then faith departs by hearing the word of man. Let me just ask you, which direction is your faith pointed in this morning? Have you been listening to words of people? Or have you been listening to the word of God? And which of those two have you been choosing to believe? Because choosing to believe the word of God will always be a choice that only you can make. When I was in kids' church, we used to sing this song, "Be Careful, Little Ears, What You Hear." Remember that song? And I'm not going to sing any more of it for you. But some of us as adults in 2017 and 18, we need to be very careful what we choose to hear. Because even if you hear something you know to be false long enough, if you keep hearing the false thing long enough, eventually you'll start to wonder this thing right here. Well, I wonder if it's true. Right? So she heard about Jesus and she believed him. Secondly, she didn't just believe that what he said was true. She believed that his power was greater than her problem. Let me ask you this question. How many believe that your greatest problem is still smaller than Jesus? Right. Amen? How many believe that no matter what you hear in 2018, that Jesus is already greater than what you're going to hear in 2018? Amen? That's the truth. And she believed, that's why she kept saying to herself, if I could just touch his garment, if I can just reach out when he comes by, if I could just touch him, she knew that what was inside of her him was greater than the issue inside of her. Friends, I want to tell you, the power inside of him is still greater than the problems inside of you. And the Bible says it like this, amen? As New Testament believers, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen? So she knew his power was greater than her, but then she went a step further. And here's a big step you guys and I all need to take this morning. She believed that the grace of God extended to her. Now, if I haven't preached to you yet this morning, welcome to the service. Because I've discovered this is most everyone I've ever met. This is their point of struggle right here. Most people have no issue believing that God can do the impossible. Most people have no issue believing that God can heal, that God can save, that God can deliver, that God can provide, that God can do abundantly above all they could ask, think, or imagine. Most people have no struggle at all believing that for somebody else. The struggle is this: do we believe that God can do it for us? When I was, I guess this is like throwback song Sunday, because there's another song we used to sing when I was growing up that said, it is no secret what God can do. Amen. What he's done for others, he will do for, he'll do for me. Amen. But there's where our faith hits a roadblock. We hear what God has done for others, but then we struggle to believe that God will do it for me in my house in this year at this time and in this moment. But friends, this lady just chose to believe that what she heard of Jesus doing for other people, that Jesus would do it for her. And I would challenge you this morning, some of you, the greatest step of faith you need to take this morning to experience life change is to believe when you read the Word of God this year, is that what you read in God's Word, he will still do for you today. That's where a lot of people's faith, we have too many theoretical believers today. That in theory, they believe the Word of God, but when it comes to practice, we struggle. And I understand it's really easy to be there. It's much easier to preach the gospel than it is to live the gospel. But we got to be people that believe and preach and walk the Word of God. She believed the grace of God extended to her. You know, there was another lady in Scripture in Matthew chapter 15. A lady came to Jesus asking for healing. And Jesus said these words to her, well, it's not really right to take the children's bread and feed it to dogs. He said that because this lady was not of Jewish descent and she was not considered an insider. And this lady looked at Jesus and she said, yeah, but even the dogs get to eat the crumbs from the master's table. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, oh, blessed are you, daughter, because you chose to believe. What did Jesus say? Jesus took this woman's faith. Jesus took this woman's challenge to believe that the grace of God even extended to her as a sign of faith. This morning, some of you just need to decide that I'm going to believe the Word of God will work for me. Amen? Amen? I don't know about you, but I believe the Word of God will work for you. And it will work for me. And change will occur when we choose to believe that the grace of God extends to us. And then she believed beyond her disappointment. She had 12 years of things not working. How many believe that after 12 years, things not working can get discouraging? Right? 12 years. The same issue. You know, it's been said that the motto of a dying church is this: we've tried that before. Right? When churches start saying, well, we've tried that before, And they won't try anything again or try something new because we tried something before. That's a bad sign. But I also want to tell you, it's also a bad sign for a believer. Well, I've tried that before. Well, I prayed before. I went up for healing before. I went to church before. I gave before. I served before. I've tried all these things before. You know, I remember when our daughter learned how to walk. The first time she tried, she crashed. Second time she tried, she crashed. Third time, crash. Fourth time, crash. Fifth, she spent weeks crashing. Until one day, Megan shoots me this video. Because she finally got on video when she tried to walk and made it from point A to point B without failing. It's a huge celebration for us. Don't be stressed out or give up just because you tried to walk by faith and failed. Amen? Just get back up and keep on walking. The word says that a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. You've got to believe beyond your disappointment. Amen? I want to preach a whole message in a few weeks about believing beyond our disappointment. But we got to do it. This woman, she reached out to Jesus beyond 12 years of nothing working. Because she was determined, this is point four this morning, she was determined to touch him. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And when he asked the question, Peter sort of got in Jesus' face and said, "Jesus, you are so silly. Are you serious? Hundreds of people have touched you." And Jesus says, "No, actually one person touched me. For I felt virtue flow out of me when someone touched me." I just want to tell you, there is a huge difference between crowding around Jesus and touching him. There's a lot of people, let's fast forward from this day of Jesus to the world we live in today. There's a whole lot of people who are satisfied crowding around Jesus. Matter of fact, I believe, I'm just going to get on my soapbox for a minute. I believe there's a lot of churches that are satisfied just to get people together around Jesus. Let's just crowd around him. Let's just hang out around him. Let's talk about him. Let's applaud him. Let's celebrate him. But friends, as a church of Jesus Christ, we have not been called to crowd around Jesus. We've been called to touch him and be touched by him and touch others with his power. That's why we exist as a church. Amen? If we come and we crowd around Jesus and we leave without touching him, we have wasted our time and missed the point of the church of Jesus Christ. Y'all about to get me happy in a minute. But this lady, she did something. It's amazing that she did something that everyone else did, but no one else did. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? This is a big deal for you and for me, because that means that I can be sitting right next to you and you have an encounter with God and I miss it. Even though we're in the same place at the same time, because you decide to touch God and I'm just happy to be in the room. There's a difference between touching God and just being around him. This lady, she did more than just show up and say, "Touch me if you can." She did more than just, say, I want to see him. I want to hear about him. No, she wanted to touch him. She wanted her life to be changed by him. She wanted to leave that place differently than what she came. And so when she reached out, as everyone else was bumping against her, when she touched him, her life was changed forever. If we want true change in our life in 2018, we've got to do more than just hang around the things of God. We've got to get serious and say, "Lord, I want to touch you." Amen? And she realizes, this lady believed that her problem was no barrier to Jesus. There's some similarities in these two stories we got going on here, and I don't think it's by chance that Luke puts them together. You've got a lady who's been sick for 12 years, and then you got a 12-year-old girl who's about to die, who does, in fact, does die, right, before Jesus gets there. You know what this lady and this dead girl have in common? If Jesus touches either of them, he's considered unclean. If Jesus touches either one of them, according to the law, the sickness and the death in them would get on to him. But instead, the exact opposite is what happens when the life of Jesus touches those people. Instead of him becoming dead, they come alive. Friends, anytime you and I touch Jesus, what is in him comes into us and never the other way around. Amen? See, he's already been bruised for our infirmities. He's already been beaten for our healing. He's already taken our sin. So when he touches us, what comes out of us has already been put on him. So why not allow what he took on for us to come into us this year? Does that make sense? She touched him and she was never the same. I'm spending too much time on there, but let me just spend another 30 seconds. If you don't get anything out of this message this morning, why don't you leave this room today determined that I'm not going to hang around the things of God this year, but I'm going to touch him. If I just do one thing this year, I'm going to get into the presence of God and I'm going to touch him. I'm going to approach him with faith. I'm going to approach him believing. I'm going to approach him just knowing that if I can touch him, my life will change, because in that moment, your life will be changed. Because fifth, last this morning, Megan, if you want to come, you got to realize your faith will not. Say this with me, it will not. I put on your notes that it does not, but I would ask you to change that phrase in your own personal notes. Your faith will not go unnoticed. Jesus said this, somebody touched me. Have you ever prayed and you felt like your prayer went unnoticed? You ever prayed and felt like these ceiling tiles up here absorbed your prayer and that's where they stopped? But Jesus said, somebody touched me. What no one noticed, Jesus noticed. Listen, you have yet to whisper a prayer that Jesus didn't hear. You have yet to walk, step, respond in faith that Jesus doesn't respond as well. Your choosing to come to him will not go unnoticed. Your prayer, your faith in him will not go unnoticed. This lady, she reached out in faith, and with no fanfare, her life was changed because she touched Jesus. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. We're sitting in the presence of God today. Say, Pastor, there's an area of my life that I desire to change.